before that, we divided the Pauline epistles, if you remember that. I'm just trying to jog your memory. We divided those from the Acts epistles, Galatians, 1st Thessalonians, Romans, 1st Corinthians, was written during the time of the Acts, between Acts 1 and Acts 28. And then you have Paul's prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, written while Paul was in jail. Now, with all of that laid out, with all of that said, tonight let's look at some things and let's just draw. I'm going to try to make this as simple as possible. This is some very difficult stuff because a lot of people don't understand, a lot of people don't see this. But let's see what we can do with it. And then afterward, we'll open it up for some discussion. Now, verse number one, Hebrews 11:1. Here is the definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is evidence of things not seen. It's the substance of things hoped for. Now, let me explain it to you this way. We've never been to heaven, right? We believe it's up there. Now, how can we prove that there is a heaven? The only way you can prove that is by faith. This is how we determine what we believe. I believe there's a heaven. Where do I get that from? I get it from here. Because this tells you substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I ain't been there yet. But the evidence of things not seen comes from here. How do you know how to get to heaven? Salvation by grace through faith, death, burial, resurrection. How do you know that? You didn't get it out of a school book. You didn't get it off the television or some in Reader's Digest. We got that. Our faith is based upon what we get from here. How do you believe? Why do you believe Jesus was born? Lived 33.5 years. Died on the cross. Ascended. Now he's seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for you and for me, waiting to come back and receive his church and all of that stuff. Where do I get that from? Do I just pull it out of the air? No, we get it. Our faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, verse number 2, 2 Corinthians 5:7. Now, all of these verses are going to lay a foundation for us where we're going. 2 Corinthians 5:7. When I said 2 Corinthians 5:7, boom, right here. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we, Paul is including all of us, we walk by what? Faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's how we walk. We walk by faith and not by sight. Have I ever seen heaven? Have you ever said, well, I don't believe heaven because I've never been there, haven't seen it. Well, they're walking by sight and not by faith. That makes sense? Thomas in the upper room. Remember, Thomas missed church one Sunday night. And all the other disciples were in there. And Thomas missed. And Jesus showed up right in the midst. And all the other disciples went home and told Thomas, said, man, Jesus showed up tonight. You missed it. He said, I ain't going to believe it unless I see it. Unless I can put my hands on him. Thomas was walking by sight and not by faith. Paul says we walk by faith and not by sight. You believe in Jesus? You ever seen him? No, you haven't. Can you prove he exists? Yes. You see how odd that sounds to somebody? Can you prove Jesus exists? Well, sure I can. How? Because I'm walked by faith and not by sight. Now, I'm going somewhere. All right, here's verse number 3 to lay our foundation. 1 Corinthians 1:22. 1 Corinthians 1:22 says the Jews require a what? A sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. Jews require a sign. They have to see it. Paul says, we walk by what? And don't have to see it. Jews require a sign, they have to see it. Does that make sense? I'm going somewhere. I'm trying to make it as easy as possible. Those three verses, what faith is. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's where I get my faith, my belief system. That's where I get it from. I walk by faith and not by sight. I don't have to see it. In other words, when you come to church on Sunday morning, I don't have to get behind the pulpit, turn backflips, and perform a circus act to get y'all to believe the Bible. What do I do? What does anybody do that comes behind the pulpit? All right, take your Bible and da-da-da-da. Why? Because that's where we get our faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Jews, on the other hand, were totally different. They had to see it to believe it. They were from Missouri. Show me stuff. Show me. All right. With all of that said, now, you'll have to turn to this one in your Bible because it's too many verses. Exodus chapter number 3. While you're going to Exodus chapter number 3, we'll look at this. Now, in Exodus chapter number 3, here's where we have the first miracle ever performed. You ever wondered why there are no miracles, no signs, no whatever before Exodus 3? You won't find any. You won't find any. The first miracle is found in Exodus chapter number 3. And you won't believe who it's done in front of. Who requires a sign? Jews. Wonder what this first miracle's done in front of. It's an amazing thing how this book is laid out. Now, watch this. Exodus chapter number 3. Here in Exodus chapter number 3 is the story of the burning bush. Moses, take a wild guess what nationality Moses is. He's a Jew. He's going to Pharaoh, who's an Egyptian, to set his people, Jews, free. Okay? So in Exodus chapter number 3, you have the burning bush experience. And let's see, look at verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the backside of the desert, came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, which the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw now hither, pull off your shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereof thou standest is holy ground. Wherefore I said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, Jews, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land, and so on and so forth. This actually pretty well goes along with our sermon Sunday morning. This is a promise. He said, I'm going to bring them out of the land, the good land, large land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the electric lights. Anyway, I just seen if he's listed. Look at verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children out of Egypt? He said, certainly I will be with thee, and shall be a token unto thee that I will send thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. Now, And then it goes into the whole thing, you know, I am that I am, and this, that, and the other. Let's see. Look at chapter 4. All right, look at chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. Now, get this right here. Don't go to a commercial right here. Verse 1, chapter 4. This is after the burning bush. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. So, God says, go tell my people, we're getting out of here. Moses says, they're not going to believe me. All right, Jews require a what? Sign. The reason they require a sign is because of unbelief. All right? Because of unbelief. Now remember this. Moses don't have a Bible. Moses can't go before the children of Israel and says, take your Bible and turn to Exodus. Let me read you, thus saith the Lord. No, Moses is going there empty-handed saying, the Lord, some big voice up there spoke to me through a burning bush and the bush didn't burn. And some voice come out of that thing and says, I am that I am. And he sent me to tell y'all. The people in the audience are going, this dude's cuckoo. Right? Moses says, they're not going to believe me. Watch. All right. Verse 2. The Lord said unto him, what is in thy hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. He cast it on the ground and became a serpent. Moses fled from before it. That's what you should do. Verse 4. And the Lord said unto Moses. Now, if you don't think God has a sense of humor, watch this. Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. If you are going to pick up a snake, if you just so happen to lose your mind for 30 seconds and think you're going to pick up a snake, you definitely don't do it by the tail. You pick him up by the head so he'll bite. God says, Moses, pick him up by the tail. Now watch. There's a reason for all this. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Verse 5, why? Why did God do that? That they may believe. Y'all see that? That the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. All right, watch this one. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. So put his hand in his bosom, came out, and his whole hand's leprosy. White as snow, leprosy. Watch. And he said, put thy hand into thy bosom again. He put his hand in his bosom again, plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it turned again as his other flesh. What happened? He'd been healed. First, he picked up a snake. Then, stuck his hand in, leprosy, put it in again. It's been healed. Okay? Like verse 8. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign. Who requires a sign? Jews. That they will believe the voice of the latter sign. So I give you one sign, that's a snake. If they don't believe that one, put your hand in there and show them it turns leprosy. And everybody's going to be like, oh, you know, that's scary. Put it in there again, it's healed. You've been healed. Okay? Verse 9. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, who requires a sign? Jews. Neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou should take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou take us out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. So now Moses is going to turn the water into blood. Do you realize? Now think about this. I ain't got time to show you, but think. God, Moses is going to stick his rod. You've seen Charleston Heston do that, man. That's wonderful. He sticks a rod in the Nile River, and the whole Nile River turns to blood. Now think about it. You can't live without drinking water. You can't. You can't live without drinking water. So all the whole water in the land of Egypt has been turned to blood. But the children of Israel drank that, and it didn't bother them. They had to drink something. All right? If you were to drink blood instead of water, you will die. So now Moses has turned water into blood, and it becomes deadly. Okay, watch. I'm going somewhere. Verse 10. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow, what? Tongue. I don't know if Moses had a speech impediment. He stuttered. Some people say he stuttered. He couldn't speak well, whatever it was. And that was one of his excuses. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, the deaf, the seeing, the blind? Have I not the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, Oh, my Lord, send me, I pray thee, and so on and so forth. Okay. Look at verse 17, and we'll carry on. And thou shalt take this rod in thy hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. Who requires a sign? Jews. And Moses is going in front of all of these Jews, in front of Pharaoh, and all of that kind of thing. Okay. We got all that laid out. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's where we get it from. Jews walk by sight and not by faith. Why? They didn't have a Bible. They had to walk by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Come on, act right. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't have to see. We have a Bible now. Does that make sense? Okay. So all of these miracles. Now, here's one that you won't have to turn to. I think I got it up here for you. Exodus 10:1. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son, thy son's sons, which things I have wrought in Egypt, my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. So all of these Jews, when Moses comes in, takes his rod, throws it down on the ground, turns into a snake, everybody's like, whoo, and he picks it up by the tail, turns into a rod again. All of these signs were done so that they may believe and know how that I am the Lord. Moses is coming in the name of the Lord. Okay? Laying all of that foundation. Now, let's fast forward to the New Testament. All of that stuff. Let's see if we can. All right. Y'all, okay. We got, what was the first one? Snake, right? Snake. And then what was it? I know tongues. And then what was healing? He stuck his arm in there. And then drinking, turning the water into blood. We'll just do that for short. So you got snakes, tongues, healing, and drinking deadly poison. All of those were found in Exodus chapter number 3. Jesus shows up on the scene. When Jesus shows up on the scene, watch this, Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. Who meets in synagogues? Jews, right? They meet in synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. I wonder why he went about healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases, because Jews require a... Jesus didn't even have a Bible. Man, I'm telling you, if you'll get this right here, we're going to be ahead of most churches around these parts anyway. I can promise you. All right, let me look at another one here. Matthew 9:35. This is what Wednesday night's all about. Bible study. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, who meets in synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness, every disease among the people. Jesus is doing that. Why? He don't have a Bible. Jews require a sign. They have to see. Jesus goes into a town, starts healing somebody, and the Jews are like, hey, we better pay attention to this guy. Because Jews walk by sight. All right? Now watch this. Matthew 10. He gets him some disciples together. These 12 Jesus sent forth, commanded them, say, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Now wait a minute. That makes me mad a little bit. Because I'm a Gentile. He just told the disciples, don't go preach the gospel to me. Isn't that weird? Matthew 10, let me just help. Let me help you. Matthew 10 is before the cross. You with me? Matthew 10 is before the cross. He calls out these 12, and he tells them, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the who? House of Israel, Jews. And when you do, watch this, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give. You know why those disciples were doing all of these miracles, healings, laying hands and cleansing the leper, raising the dead, casting out devils? Because who they were going to, Jews require a... So they had to get the Jews to pay attention. They're like Thomas, doubting Thomas. Unless I see it, I ain't gonna believe. We walk by and not by sight. There's a difference. We're going somewhere, I promise. Now, with all of that said, let's fast forward, because I'm trying to get all of this in the time we have allotted. Now, we done fast forwarded. We got up here. Okay, now let's look. I tell you what, let's go to Mark. You have to turn to this one because it's too much. It's just better to see it if you got it. Mark 16. Let me go here. Mark 16. Now, if you'll get this right here. This right here is, this is what you call, you know, on Sunday mornings we give out milkshakes and, you know, milk and cookies, cake and ice cream, and that's, you know, everybody's, woo, boy, that's good, hallelujah, praise the Lord. On Wednesday nights we give steak. This is the heavy steak stuff. So, Mark 16, verse 14. You got to get it. Watch it. Afterward, he appeared. Jesus appeared unto the 11. Now, Judas has already left, betrayed the Lord. Now we got 11 disciples, which are what nationality? Jews. As they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief. Why did God send the signs? Because of their unbelief. So now we got 11 disciples here, unbraideth them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Verse 15. And he said unto them, Jesus said unto the Jewish disciples, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, when you read a verse like that, don't be scared of it. Do not be scared of a verse like that, and don't try to change it or make it fit or whatever. Now, let me say something that maybe you have never heard before, but I can promise you I can prove it. Jews had to be baptized to be saved. Gentiles don't. Now, he that believeth, who are these disciples going to? Jews. Jews require a sign. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That is why it's so important to make sure. I went out to the mailbox, church mailbox, this afternoon before church. I got the mail and I started sorting it out. Junk mail, file 13, right there in the trash. And I got what was important. Gave all the bills to Sharon. I didn't want them. And it is something that might have pertained to the youth. You divide it up. That goes to them. You with me? When you read the Bible, it's the same way. When you look at a verse and you look at Mark 16:16, people look at that and they try to give me that mail, which don't belong to me, belongs to somebody else. How many churches have you ever heard say, you have to be baptized to be saved, and I got a verse to prove it? And they do. But you got the wrong mail for the wrong people. Very important. The Bible does say you have to be baptized to be saved. But who's he talking to? That's exactly right. You see, it's a big difference. Now, verse 17. Hey, let me just prove. Give me pause. What time is it? Oh, I got time to prove this. Watch. We got Mark 16. Remember, you got to be baptized to be saved, right? Got to be baptized to be saved. That's what it says. All right? Let me go right over here. Y'all see this right here, 1 Corinthians? Y'all see who wrote that? To the church at Corinth. Corinthians. Bunch of Gentiles. You with me? You won't believe it. 1 Corinthians 1:17. Paul says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now let me ask y'all something. If you have to be baptized to be saved, then Paul don't know it. He said Christ didn't send me to baptize. Why? Because Paul's preaching to hallelujah. Made me throw my marker. Mark 16's talking to 1 Corinthians 1:17. Paul says Christ sent me not to baptize. Should you be? Sure, to show the death, burial, resurrection. But for a totally different reason than the Jews. Paul says, but to preach the gospel. Anyway, there you go. All right, let's go back to Mark 16 and watch this. Now, we just read that verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized. Now, there's more that I could say about it, but that's really not the topic of discussion. I just wanted to clear it up because I know people, when you read that verse, they're like, man, I thought you said, you know. Well, there we go. Verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Sign. Who requires a sign? All right. So these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Y'all see all of that? Taking up snakes, drinking deadly poison, healing, laying hands on the sick, they shall recover, speaking with new tongues. Verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and set down, or set on the right hand of God. And they went forth, the Jews went forth, preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the what? The word with what? Signs following. Guess what? The disciples didn't have a Bible either. They didn't have a Bible yet either. They might have a portions of Old Testament already in front of them, but they didn't have a Bible like I got. So Jesus sent them forth preaching. How are you going to confirm the word if you ain't got a book to say, hey, congregation, take your Bible and turn it to whatever. You know what they did? Cast out devils, healed all manner of sickness, spoke with new tongue to confirm the word. Because Jews require a... Y'all about to get it. Y'all are about to get it. I'm telling you. Now, watch this. Who was Moses going to free out of Egypt? Jews. He picked up a what? God gave him a new tongue. He stuck his hand in there. It became right. So he got healed, turned the water into blood, drinking deadly. That's all in Mark 16. Because who's them disciples going to preach to? Jews, because they have to see all that stuff too. The same thing Moses, boom, 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 them Jews in Mark 16, Jesus says, go and preach unto them, and these signs will follow you, confirming the word. All right, I'm going somewhere. I know what y'all are thinking. Y'all are saying, well, you keep saying that. You ain't got there yet. I'm going. All right. Let's go. Let's fast forward to Acts. Acts 5 right here. Peter, insomuch that they, this is sort of breaking into context. I ain't got time to read the whole story, but watch this. You'll get the idea. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Did you know in Acts chapter 5, in front of all of these Jewish people in Acts 5, just the mere shadow of Peter was healing folks. Jews require a sign. All right? Now, all right, let's look. There it is again. If you want to, 1 Corinthians 1:22, Jews require a sign, Greeks seek after wisdom. There we are. Now, let's see. Let me fast forward. Acts 14, because I'm going somewhere. Acts 14. Acts 14, long time. This is breaking into story too, but you'll get the idea. Long time, therefore, abode, they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Jews require a sign. Greeks seek after wisdom. Now, watch this. I told you this, I think, last time. Acts 28. This is right before Paul goes to prison. Matter of fact, he is in jail right here. He's actually a prisoner on this ship. They go shipwrecked, and they make it up to land, and they're about to freeze to death. They make a fire. The whole story is found in Acts 28. And when the barbarians are the ones that had Saul there, Saul, the venomous beast, what happened? Paul's sitting there warming himself by the fire. All these other guys are warming themselves, and a viper, a snake, came out and latched onto Paul's hand. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer. Because, you know, they thought, well, if something bad happens to you, that means God's mad at you. No doubt this man is a murderer whom, I mean, he's in jail. He's arrested for something. They don't know. No doubt this man is a murderer whom, though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And so anyway, I forgot to put the rest of the verses on there, but he shook it off in the fire, and the snake didn't bother him. If it had bit you or me, we'd have killed over. Dead. But it bit Paul, because Paul is an apostle, and he had the signs of the apostles. Mark 16. And these signs shall follow the apostles. To pick up deadly serpents, it shall not hurt them. Same thing happened to Moses. Now, we do, there are, let's see, I think if you've ever been, yeah, I love watching these shows. It was a series on Netflix. I don't know if it's still on there or not, but I just got interested in it. Not because I'm interested in handling snakes by any means. I just got interested in watching them do it. And it was a series of churches over there in East Tennessee, right on the border, East Tennessee, and right above in the hills of Kentucky, West Virginia, right over in that area, was all of these churches that still today that they handle snakes. And they'll bring out, they have, you know, these boxes, and some are copperheads, some are rattlesnakes and whatever. And when the service gets going and the music really gets and everybody's going and everybody's hyped up, then the preacher or some of the men, maybe some of the deacons, you know, they come up and start getting these snakes out and dance around singing and all of that and this, that, and the other. Well, my hand up, I'm telling you. There was a whole wall over here with all these men hanging on the wall, and there was a news media that come in there to interview that, because it was just, you know, crazy how they were doing things. And they said, "Who are all these people?" And they said, "Well, those are all the pastors that we used to have that died snake bites." And I'm laughing, but I mean, it's sad. But I mean, it is sort of funny in a way. I hate that they died that way, but because what they did, they took somebody else's mail. It wasn't belonging to them. You understand? You see how somebody could say, "Well, now the Bible says it." It does say it, don't it? But who's he talking to? When they say, "The Bible says," they are right. The Bible does say, "And you shall take up serpents, and it shall not hurt you, da 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 da." But is it talking to you? That's the question. You ever wonder this? I'm getting off track just a little bit, but I'm coming back on it. You ever wonder why? Look, they handle, I've seen them, I've watched them, YouTubed it, all that kind of stuff. They handle copperheads and rattlesnakes for the most part. And that's bad enough. I've never been snake bit, as far as I know. I've seen people live from a copperhead bite and a rattlesnake bite. I've never seen one of those churches handle cobras or those taipans or those black mambas from Africa. They bite you, you're dead in a minute and a half. Get them big bad boys out and handle them. If you really want to prove something to me, get them jokers out. We ain't even got to the drink deadly stuff yet. You know, somebody comes in here and says, "I have the gifts of the apostle." First thing I'm going to do is go in the cleaning closet and find me some liquid plumber. Pour me a glass and say, "Hey, prove it, Jack." You say, "Preacher, you're making fun of something." No, Bible says, 1 John 4:1. I got Bible. 1 John 4, try the spirits to see if they be of God. If a guy comes in here and says, "I got the gifts of the apostle," fine, prove it. Try the spirits. Here's your glass of liquid plumber. Drink it. And if we see you walk in Sunday morning, we'll let you preach. If not, we'll go to your funeral on Saturday. Huh? Now, so where were we? Oh, here we go. So watch this. The Jews require a sign. This thing stops and ceases after Acts 28, you won't see that anymore. It tapers off. It tapers off and it stops here. I'll prove my point. 2 Timothy 4:20. 2 Timothy, y'all see where 2 Timothy is? It's after 28, right? 2 Timothy 4:20. Erastus, now Paul's writing this, Paul, from prison. Erastus abode at Corinth. But Trophimus have I left at Miletus, what? Now hang on. Paul, in Acts 28 you had the gift of healing. Why didn't you heal your buddy in 2 Timothy? You see how that thing tapered off? And after it stopped, you don't see those signs. Let me explain it this way. Why don't you see, after Acts 28, why don't you see the gifts of Mark 16:16? Snakes, tongue, healing, drinking deadly poison, it shall not hurt you, all that kind of stuff. You won't see that kind of stuff after Acts 28 because these signs are the gifts, the signs of an apostle. Mark 16, the disciples, apostles, Paul, an apostle. With me? One of the requirements of the apostle is to witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, eventually, all the apostles, that witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ, eventually, they all die, right? Common sense. After all the apostles die, you don't find those anymore. 2 Timothy. I can't do it. Can't heal him. I have to leave him there sick. All right, here's another one. 1 Timothy 5:23. Now, think about this one. Drink no longer water. Now, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy's right here. After Acts 20, 1 Timothy's over here. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Now, what are you thinking? I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, man, my stomach hurts all the time. I need to go get me a, you know. Man, my stomach's always bothering me. I'm going to have to, you know, just keep drinking this stuff. In the Bible, they didn't have NyQuil. They didn't have Robitussin. They didn't have all the stuff that we have today. What did they use for medicine in 1 Timothy? They used wine, alcohol. What did Samaritan? Remember the Good Samaritan? When he found that guy, he poured oil and wine on his wound. Why? Because that alcohol, right. Drink a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. So they used that for medicinal purposes. Now, if Paul, you're talking to Timothy here, you're talking to your preacher buddy Timothy here, if you still got the gift of healing, then why are you telling people a good medicine to use? You see how that thing is no longer over here? Okay. Now, I know what you're thinking. Y'all are thinking, now, Brother Jeremy don't believe in healing no more. That's not true. I've seen God heal a bunch of people. But now there's a difference. In Peter healing somebody, his shadow just healing somebody, and God healing somebody. Here with the Jews, God used man. Because why? Jews had to see it. We walk by faith and not by sight. If you came up Sunday like we did with Ruby's son, and he was up coming up, had an upcoming surgery, and many others that have done that, I always ask them, I say, is it okay to do that? I'll get the men together and say, hey, can we pray for you? And we gather around and we're asking God to heal. We're asking God to touch. We're asking God to do something. We can do that. But I can't guarantee just by me touching, I can't guarantee they're going to be healed. Peter could have. John could have. Matthew could have. Could have. Could have. You get the picture. They can guarantee it because they had the gift. I don't. I'm not an apostle. I didn't witness the resurrection of Jesus. They're all passed off now. Remember, what was it, Ephesians 4? And he gave some prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers. How that thing progresses? It starts out apostles, prophets, or is it prophets, apostles? I think it's apostles, prophets, I think. Evangelist, I know, is next, and then pastor, teacher. That's what you have. You don't have apostles today. You have pastor teachers. So I hope that makes a little sense. Anyway, how that sort of clears maybe that up. Now, again, before anybody goes out and says, well, Brother Jeremy, don't believe. Man, I've seen God heal. I've seen God do some mighty things. I've seen God take an x-ray and somebody say, hey, the doctor saw a spot. A week later, they go in and x-ray and the spot ain't there no more. I've seen it, but I didn't do it. God did it. You see, there's a difference than me getting a healing line together and everybody coming in, you know. And look, I'm telling you, you got to be careful how you handle this book. Because you can lead people, man, you can lead people astray. You see how easy that's done?